WZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. At least 40 people were killed in severe weather over the weekend across the country. Millions of people on alert for more wind, rain, and possible tornadoes throughout today as well. The Trump administration denying it broke a federal judge's order by deporting hundreds of alleged Venezuelan gang members.
Just after 6 p.m. Saturday, planes carrying more than 200 Venezuelan prisoners left the U.S. after the administration invoked the Alien Enemies Act. Less than an hour later, a federal judge temporarily blocked the president from invoking the law and ordered the planes to turn around, saying any plane containing these folks that is going to take off or is in the air needs to be returned to the United States. But the planes never turned around.
That's ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. The president calling a federal judge's ruling ordering the administration to rehire thousands of employees ridiculous. President says he will continue discussions this week with Vladimir Putin on ending the war in Ukraine. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A new documentary says We Are Not Alone. The Age of Disclosure premiered at the South by Southwest Film Festival in early March and claims aliens are real and that the government has covered up their existence for the last 80 years. The doc claims non-human biological matter has been collected from spacecraft crash sites. Director Dan Farah interviewed 34 government officials who confirmed some type of extraterrestrial life, but the film does not offer a whole lot of actual proof other than talking heads. No confirmation as to whether or not people have actually been probed. As promised, I said I would report back when I finished the show Zero Day on Netflix. The six-parter starring Robert De Niro and Joan Allen explores what happens after a massive grid outage that kills over 3,000 Americans. Zero Day has some great moments, but ties everything up a little too neatly at the end. Having said that, De Niro is great. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Another win for Wisconsin. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers beat UCLA 86-70. The Badgers had lost to the Bruins in LA earlier this season. Wisconsin's Kamari McGee on the Badgers Radio Network says today they did a better job on defense against the Bruins.
We're just making sure that we were in our gaps. When we watched the film from the last game, it was a lot. It was just open, the driving lane after driving lane. But, you know, we really focused in on the gaps. Just being in gap helps, making them throw the throwback, making them find other guards, just because we knew that they wanted to get in the paint more than shoot the three.
So Wisconsin advances in the semifinals in Indianapolis. They take on the number one seed Michigan State tomorrow at noon. In the Big East, it's Marquette against St. John's at Madison Square Garden. We'll have a recap later tonight. NFL, Packers losing a player in free agency. Linebacker and a leader on special teams, Eric Wilson, has signed to rejoin the Vikings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Todd Alba Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We will talk about the Wisconsin Badgers seed in the NCAA tournament and what makes you a target of the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy and warmer today. We'll get to around 54 this afternoon. The wind will be a little breezy this morning, but it should die down by this afternoon. Tonight, 27. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 47 with snow in the afternoon. And again tomorrow night, there could be several inches by the time it winds down on Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Musk is so arrogant that he is even intervening right here in the state of Wisconsin.
Republican Rep. Brian Stile said in a statement that Sanders was on a fear-mongering tour. Maybe you should be afraid when billionaires can buy the presidency, when billionaires can buy elections. I think that's a little scary. And
I think so.
We the people should do something about it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey K., will discuss the capitulation by Senate Democrats on the continuing resolution. Should AOC primary Chuck Schumer? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Well, the good news, if you don't like our weather today, it's going to change tomorrow. And then the next day, it's a Monday. Welcome to it, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. So glad you're making time for us to start your work week. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. The weather is going to be all over the page and then some this week around the state of Wisconsin, depending on where you are. Today is going to look pretty enough. Sunshine, high temperatures today around 57. It is going to be windy, though, out of the south, 10 to 15 miles an hour by this afternoon. Could feel gusts as high as 35 miles an hour. Tomorrow, sunshine, highs near 59, still a little on the breezy side. Then Wednesday, we're going to have rain in the morning, and then things start changing in the afternoon. The winds are going to pick up. Temperatures are going to start to change. We'll maybe see a high near 52, but it's going to tail off into the afternoon, and we should see some half to three quarters of an inch rain possible in some areas. Then on Thursday, sunny, but only 43. Friday, sunny and 55. I know for some folks, there is even snow possibilities in the forecast. I'll let Stu Muck tell you all about that. He's coming our way in about 15 minutes' time.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
The number one farm insurer in Wisconsin, Rural Mutual Insurance, is rewarding their farm policyholders for their loyalty and commitment to Wisconsin agriculture through their Farm Dividend Program. The Farm Dividend pays up to 5% back on your farm premium. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn how you could qualify.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Severe thunderstorms, tornadoes, floods. What you see in real time helps tremendously in the warning process. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to relay local weather observations. Tracking vital weather information also plays an important role in gathering climate information used in our daily agricultural workday decisions. Volunteer citizen scientists have been lending a hand for decades and thoroughly enjoy this very important hobby. To become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
Over the next few months, there will be a new biennial budget produced by state legislators. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo, and Senator Brad Paff, who sits on the State Agriculture Committee, explains what he would like to see some of that budget go towards, as well as what he would like to see done to help mitigate issues that may come from federal changes.
We need to continue to focus on rural Wisconsin and the needs of the working families in rural Wisconsin. I think all of us recognize the fact that Wisconsin farmers feed the world. But we also recognize the fact that it's Wisconsin farmers and Wisconsin agriculture that powers our state's economy. In fact, Wisconsin agriculture contributes nearly $115 billion annually to our state's economy. Believe it or not, one out of every 9 jobs in our state are either directly or indirectly tied to production agriculture. So we need to make sure that we continue to focus on what we can do to move Wisconsin agriculture forward. Best way to do that is to make sure we can continue to find new markets for Wisconsin agriculture products. We got to lower input cost. One of the ways that we can lower input costs is to make sure that we keep our eye on the ball when it comes to property taxes. That's why I've continued to push to reduce local local property tax. We need to make sure that we have strong roads and bridges, because while Wisconsin farmers feed the world, if we can't get that grain truck across the first county bridge, we've got problems. That is why we need to make sure we've got a strong transportation system. But we also recognize the fact that health care costs way too much for independent operators like farmers. And so what can we do to make sure we hold down these health care costs, hold these prescription drug and pharmaceutical companies accountable? All of that is very important. And the other thing that is very important to me and to the people of the district that I represent is we need to make sure that we have EMS emergency services in our rural areas, because every second, every minute can impact someone's life, and we need to make sure that we have ambulance services and emergency services in our rural areas. And those are the issues that I'm pushing for when we look at this state budget.
Well, when we take a look at maybe labor now, obviously the new administration is going through trying to deport a lot of people, and that might hurt the labor here in Wisconsin. Are you seeing any of that happening here yet? And have you heard of any issues when it comes to the labor force now, say, on dairy farms?
Well, I know there's anxiety and there's anxiousness as our dairy farmers and those in agriculture recognize the fact that it does take a labor force in order to make sure that we produce high quality foods that feed people around the world. It is important that we make sure that we have strong and secure borders in this country, but we also need to recognize the fact that we have to make sure that we've got a labor force that is ready to milk the cows and to harvest the crops. And so I have been working in the state legislature to create more opportunities for Wisconsin residents to consider agriculture and production agriculture as part of their career as they go forward. That is why we've got apprenticeship programs and internship programs. What more we can do in order to get more people involved in production agriculture? It's something that we need to take a look at. How can we make sure that we've got job training programs through, our high schools? May it be through our FFA programs, or may it be through technical education? All of that is so very important to us, because as we know, cows need to be milked multiple times a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And I think we all recognize the fact that we need to have skilled mechanics and skilled technicians out in the countryside. So we do need to look at labor productivity. We need to look at what we can do in order to make sure we get more people involved in the workforce, the Wisconsin agriculture workforce in our state. And we need to recognize the fact that, what happens in Washington, D.C. Does have an impact out here in the countryside.
Obviously, one of those big impacts is these supposed tariffs that are coming. And right now they are paused, but we only have a couple more weeks until there's a possibility of them coming in. For the state of Wisconsin, Canada is a huge supporter of our dairy market here. What is happening, if you can give us an inside look, what's happening to try to mitigate, if those were to go into place, to try to mitigate the effects for Wisconsin agriculture?
Well, I will say this. I do obviously recognize the fact that we want to make sure that Wisconsin farmers compete in a international trading market that is fair, and that China and other nations do not manipulate our trading markets. One of the things that I'm trying to do here within the Wisconsin state legislature is find new markets for Wisconsin agriculture products. And I do believe that those markets can be found domestically as well. I think we all recognize the importance of the international markets, but I think there's an awful lot of more backfill we can do with Wisconsin egg products domestically. And so how can we build out the Wisconsin brand, the Wisconsin agriculture brand, when it comes to high quality dairy products and cheeses, as well as meats, as well as vegetables? How can we build out the Wisconsin brand nationally? And so that is something that, I have been really really working hard on, all hands on deck, what we can do to make sure that we work with domestic food distributors to build out Wisconsin agriculture products so consumers, may they be in California or may they be in Florida, look for the Wisconsin label, something special from Wisconsin to put on their kitchen table, because they know if they eat homegrown Wisconsin products, that not only is it healthy and nutritious, but it's also something that's absolutely delicious.
Well, when you mentioned California, they are starting to come back online from the bird flu cases. What are you trying to do to help push those Wisconsin products over the California ones for the classroom milk?
Well, the thing is that it's all about specialty products, and we need to make sure that when people look for a dairy product in their food case, that they're looking for something from Wisconsin. And not only does that mean that they can recognize the fact that it's healthy and it's nutritious and delicious, but also that it's being produced from family farmers that are rooted to the land, that they are from this area, they have pride in their community, they have pride in the product that their cattle and their farm produce. And we need to tell the entire story about what buying an agriculture food crop from Wisconsin, what that means. And the consumer is buying value. They are buying something that's wholesome, that is delicious and nutritious, but also something in which it is supporting a family and a community. And that is a story that needs to be told, because the consumer is looking for a lot of different things when they go to the store. Obviously, they're looking at price, but they're also looking at, what does that food product that I am purchasing and putting on my family's table to eat, what does that mean? And what is the story of Wisconsin agriculture? And I will say the story of Wisconsin agriculture is a story of pride, heritage, and culture.
I just want to take a step back to earlier when you were mentioning rural health care. That is a huge issue, obviously, across the U.S. But what are some of the things that you are trying to get done? I know within the budget, probably more funding, but do you want more mobile clinics, or do you want it to be easier for them to get insurance? Or what are the kind of things that you'd like to see done?
Well, that's a very good question, and there's a lot of different answers to that. The first thing I would like to see is to make sure that our residents, regardless of where they live, have access to emergency EMS services. That is so very important. And many of our EMS services that are provided in rural areas are volunteer. And I thank all the volunteers out there for doing what they're doing in order to keep their neighbors and their community healthy. But the thing is I think we all recognize the fact that it's getting harder and harder to get volunteers to participate in emergency EMS services. So I would like to see us here in the state legislature, may it be in a state budget or may it be in freestanding legislation, work more proactively in order to get EMS service to our rural areas. How can that be done? Obviously, we need to look at how we partner with our healthcare facilities, but also we look at training programs and even some compensation for the volunteer EMS. That is extremely important. I also want to make sure that our critical care hospitals, particularly rural critical care hospitals, continue to stay available and funded.
Senator Brad Paff has also recently introduced a right to repair legislation for the state of Wisconsin to allow farmers to be able to work on their own equipment. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Congressman Mark Pocan.
Already people can't get appointments as easily at the VA hospitals. Already farmers aren't getting their grants. Federal employees are losing their jobs. And this is just the real life ramifications of what's happening.
If you can't convey the impact of these cuts, the people that are getting bad information are just going to think he's just cutting wasteful spending.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wbzh.fm/contest-terms.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Maggie Dawn.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. We've got a whole show dedicated to the holiday. We're going to be talking about Irish heritage. We've got live Irish music. We'll explain what the heck curling is. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
That's about the same that Butch in Alto got on Saturday, but lots of winds. And then I see David in Burlington, 4 inches of snow Sunday morning. Stu Muck, Ag Meteorologist, joining us live now for our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. 4 inches of snow. That's kind of the top of the cake right now. What else do you see?
And a lot of that. I mean, friends of ours landed at Mitchell Field in Milwaukee yesterday. Boom, they texted, 4 inches of snow on the ground here. I've got Racine indicating about 3 inches as of yesterday morning. And from Sunday morning, I had some dandies here. Where'd they go? 6 inches at Greendale and 6.2 inches at Muskego. Southeast Wisconsin really got the snow out of a lot of this. There was some of the further north as well. I mean, we're not all alone. Now, today, things have quieted down a bit. A front's trying to sweep east and away from us. But radar again indicating some snow in far northern Minnesota, North Dakota, rain and freezing rain and snow in central North Dakota, rain back in Montana. Another low is going to build in from the west and drop a front into Wisconsin, lining up from northeast to southwest. And that's going to lead to some precipitation, rain south, snow north, believe it or not, from northern parts of Iowa, southeast Minnesota, into western Wisconsin. There's a winter storm warning already in effect from 4 a.m. Wednesday to 10 p.m. Wednesday. Some of the heaviest snow at this time could be in that area from, Eau Claire and over towards central and far northeast Wisconsin as we head to Wednesday and Wednesday afternoon. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 63 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for April 1st through the 3rd at the EAA grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit wisconsinpublicservice.com.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit HeadsUpST.com to learn more.
Alrighty, Stu, let's have those details.
All right, let's start out today with some sunshine for a Monday, some clouds north, unfortunately, maybe even a couple of snowflakes at Park Falls or Hayward. I'm expecting, along with the sun for most of us, though, we head up into the mid-50s, low 50s in the far north, and our winds out of the south increase, about 5 to 10, even up to 20, gusting to 35. We'll stay relatively clear overnight, mid-30s south, maybe only about 30 in the north, with the south wind 5 to 15. Partly sunny Tuesday ahead of anything happening, and we see a lot of low and even upper 50s, low 50s north, upper 50s south, east winds 5 to 15. It's that chance of precipitation, rain south Tuesday night, snow in the north. Wednesday, some rain, maybe a thunderstorm south, some snow north. That's where that winter storm warning comes into effect. I'd expect temps still in the very low 50s in the south, Pam, a lot cooler north, and winds become west in the day, gusting at 30 and better. Windy and kind of chilly by Thursday.
Yeah, we're going to have to keep an eye on that. Good enough. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Got it. See ya.
Stu Mucker, Ag Meteorologist, joining us live this morning with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial is your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural America. You can find out more, including their very interesting and educational webinar offerings. It's all available online right now, compure.com. Keep using the talk text line, folks. I'm loving the notes.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Young.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. More Trump administration mass layoffs at CISA have experts raising concerns over U.S. readiness for cyber attacks on election infrastructure and federal agency networks. An additional 100 in-house and contracted cyber specialists were reportedly terminated in March. The terminations raised the number of layoffs at the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency to an estimated 300, though new CISA leadership has denied recent layoffs. As we reported in February, a team assisting state election officials in improving and hardening election systems was laid off. VoteBeat reported March 11th that CISA's new leadership informed state election officials that it had suspended operations and funding for the Election Infrastructure Information Sharing and Analysis Center. In addition, a McCarthy-like effort is underway to purge CISA staffers who ran 2020 efforts to combat foreign and domestic disinformation in social media, some concocted by the Trump campaign and its allies. Reports in cybersecurity journals say that the latest layoffs involve so-called red teams, which pressure test the security of government networks. CBS News quoted one cybersecurity expert let go in February as saying about U.S. networks, "We're being targeted daily, hourly, and every single minute." We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, "This is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow." Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. At least 40 people were killed in severe weather over the weekend across the country. Millions of people on alert for more wind, rain, and possible tornadoes throughout today as well. The Trump administration denying it broke a federal judge's order by deporting hundreds of alleged Venezuelan gang members.
Just after 6 p.m. Saturday, planes carrying more than 200 Venezuelan prisoners left the U.S. after the administration invoked the Alien Enemies Act. Less than an hour later, a federal judge temporarily blocked the president from invoking the law and ordered the planes to turn around, saying any plane containing these folks that is going to take off or is in the air needs to be returned to the United States. But the planes never turned around.
That's ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. The president calling a federal judge's ruling ordering the administration to rehire thousands of employees ridiculous. President says he will continue discussions this week with Vladimir Putin on ending the war in Ukraine. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. You've heard of Ted Lasso, the Apple TV show that premiered during the COVID-19 pandemic. It came at the right time and seemed to make people warm and fuzzy all over and give them much-needed laughs. We could use more of that now, and according to Variety, the show is coming back for a fourth season. Ted will be portrayed by Christopher Walken. Just kidding, even though I think that would be hilarious. Jason Sudeikis returns to the show that garnered 66 Emmy nominations and 13 wins. The exact release date has not yet been mentioned. SNL 50 happened weeks ago, but Variety is reporting that Bill Murray got very emotional during the festivities. The actor appeared on the Sway Calloway show and admitted to crying three times throughout the broadcast, especially losing it when a clip of the late Gilda Radner appeared, saying he loved Gilda and absolutely came apart when he saw her on screen. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks bow to the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Thunder 121-105. Doc Rivers says about the only guy to play with any effort last night was Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I thought Giannis really came with the right intentions, and I thought there's games, guys, that you have in the year that one team has understands the bigness of the game and the other team doesn't. And you can feel it, you can see it.
The Bucks have lost four of their last six games. College basketball, Marquette headed to the NCAA tournament for the fourth year in a row. They'll play New Mexico Friday night. The Badgers got into the big dance. They'll take on Montana on Thursday after losing in the finals of the Big Ten tournament to Michigan yesterday, 59-53.
This one stings, but as I told the team, I couldn't ask for any more in terms of what they've given us and how they played today, other than we didn't make shots.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a person with MS and autism and is an advocate for Medicare and Medicaid will join us. Going to be a very interesting conversation. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy and warmer today. We'll get to around 54 this afternoon. The wind will be a little breezy this morning, but it should die down by this afternoon. Tonight, 27. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 47 with snow in the afternoon. And again tomorrow night, there could be several inches by the time it winds down on Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
What do you think about Donald Trump firing 80,000 employees of the VA? Steve from Madison, also a veteran. I'm hearing from one of our conservative texters saying it's okay because it saves money.
How does it save money if it kills people? I mean, how many suicides are there amongst veterans? How many of our seniors need health care? I mean, you take away money from us and it kills us. That's what it does.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wbzh.fm/contest-terms. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Ingram.
Today we are seeing the largest number of humanitarian emergencies since after World War II. We should be expanding our life-saving aid programs, not shutting them down during this time of crisis. I don't care where they come from. They are human beings. We weren't even having this conversation before 7 weeks ago, before Donald Trump took office, before a monster took office.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Yeah, don't forget, this week we're going to get an opportunity for all you rainfall reporters to chime in. I sure hope that you'll take us up on that. The toll-free number for our talk text line, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. And, of course, all month long, we're encouraging everybody to consider becoming a rainfall reporter for the National Weather Service. We've been bringing you stories on why that information from you is so critical, and you're going to hear more on that through the rest of this month. Go to WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org if you want to find out now. WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org. So, I'm Farm Director Pam Yockey. Welcome to the Midwest Farm Report on this, the 17th day of March. On this day, 1941, Milwaukee's airport was officially named Mitchell Field. It honored the air power pioneer, General William Mitchell. It was named on this day back in 1941. On this day, 1941, the National Gallery of Art opened in Washington, D.C. How many people have had a chance to stroll through that one? Franklin Delano Roosevelt opened the gallery, which today houses one of the world's finest art collections. Happy birthday to Kurt Russell. That guy is timeless, too. 74 years young. Also, Gary Sinise. He is 70 years young. You probably know him as Captain Dan from Forrest Gump. He is 70. And now you know. Well, Charity Seebecker catching up with us this morning to let you know what's going on with Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. You know, that board is made up of hardworking dairy farmers from all across the state of Wisconsin, and Charity caught up with one of them for this conversation.
Wisconsin's dairy industry is a key part of the state's economy, and Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is working hard to support local farmers, promote our state's dairy products, and build trust with consumers. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and Sandy Madlin, member of the DFW Board of Directors, is joining us for this month's Check-In with Dairy Checkoff to share how they make sure that Wisconsin's dairy farmers have the tools that they need to succeed.
Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin has a board of 25 farms elected by their fellow farmers. I represent District 15 on the board. That's dairy farmers from Adams, Juneau, and Monroe counties. As a board, we oversee the work that the talented staff at DFW does. Their programming focuses on three main areas to drive demand and boost the state's dairy economy through sales, both nationally and globally. Those three areas are marketing, you know, getting our cheese and our products out there to all the grocery stores. You know, 99% of grocery stores in the United States have Wisconsin cheese in them. The next area is research. And I think this is a really cool place of interest of mine within DFW. We have the Center for Dairy Research in Madison, and they just do a lot of work with research on new products and troubleshooting and, you know, supporting everything from small farmstead cheeses to, you know, large processors with anything that they would, you know, like to do with their products. And then the other area is education. DFW provides a lot of support and resources to help dairy farmers, myself included, you know, so we can build a bridge to our consumers and they can connect with us on our farms and we can take our farms to where they are too. Like things that I've done personally are we have where people come to us. We host farm tours at our farm. We have, you know, dairy breakfasts on our farms. And things that we do to take our farm to our consumers is going to our county fairs, many trips down to Wisconsin State Fair. Within DFW, they do like store demos and things where you can see products and try products. And of course, social media where there's just a lot of activity.
Let's focus in now a little bit more on that consumer trust side of things that you were touching on. You mentioned a lot of different ways that you put effort into educating people about Wisconsin dairy. You mentioned you're inviting them out to the farm. And I've even been out to your farm myself. Why is that so important to you? Why do you feel that it's key to keep building trust in Wisconsin dairy?
You know, Wisconsin has a great history and tradition of dairy farming and cheese making. And research tells us that like 80% of consumers trust dairy farmers, you know, the milk that they produce and that the way that they produce that milk. And if you ask consumers in the state of Wisconsin, that number is actually closer to 90%. So, you know, we have a lot of positive around our industry. And also now with all the ways that we can be connected through social media, it's just like that much easier to invite consumers to really see into our farms and to see where their food comes from. And, you know, as farmers, we work hard to improve the ways that we use our land to grow crops, to feed ourselves and to feed our cows, and the care that we give our cows to be healthy and productive. And then also, as a first-generation farmer here, the effort that we make in our lifetimes to ensure that our farms are successful so our children and our grandchildren can carry on Wisconsin's family farm traditions.
A big part of that, you mentioned, is sharing your farm story. That goes hand in hand with building that consumer trust for Wisconsin dairy farmers, the dairy products, and everything that makes us Wisconsin's dairy land. Can you tell me just a little bit more about why that's important to share the story specifically, or tips that you have for other farmers looking to share their story?
We know that people are 3 to 4 generations removed from the farm. And I was one of those people, too, because as a first-generation farmer, you know, when I was growing up in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you know, I was a city girl and I didn't know anything about farms. And I was always just really curious. And I think people in general are just really curious about farms now because they don't have, you know, as many opportunities to experience them. And I know now that I've done the best I could over the years to share my story and share my farm with as many people as possible, because I know that they're just looking to learn more about us.
What are some of the other in-state programs that Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin does that our dairy farmers can see throughout the year?
Oh boy, there's all kinds. I think right now the main one that a lot of people are going to be seeing is, you know, all of our WIAA state tournaments. You know, just a great chance for us to, you know, share that message that, you know, chocolate milk is that great recovery for all those athletes out there that are giving it their all. And then also tying in with our athletes, DFW started doing that Wisconsin Dairy Athlete of the Month. So this is someone, you know, from a dairy farm or associated with a dairy farm, maybe working there, to just highlight those student athletes.
That's Sandy Madlin, member of the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Board of Directors, joining us for this month's Check-In with Dairy Checkoff. To learn more about the programs that she mentioned, visit wisconsindairy.org. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Rising energy costs impacting your farm's profits?
Focus on Energy is here to help with increased incentives for energy efficient upgrades in 2025. Save money and energy for years to come.
Take the first step toward lowering utility bills. Call 800-762-7077 or visit focusonenergy.com/agribusiness today.
That's focusonenergy.com/agribusiness. Focus on Energy, proudly supporting Wisconsin farmers since 2001.
Rolling into a Monday trade session right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average in red ink by about 200 points or more. Our nearby corn contracts up a nickel at 463. December new crop up three at 454. May beans are unchanged at 1016. November's up a penny, 1019. And July new crop wheat's up 11 right now at 584. Friday, barrel cheese dropped 4 cents to 169. 40-pound block cheese was down 6 1/4. Finished the week at 169 1/4, while AA butter gained 0.25 cents to 234 1/4 per pound. So far this morning, the April Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 3 at 1753. May closed 41 cents lower, 1773 100 weight. Hey, I know some of you may have sustained wind damage over the weekend. Remember, our talk text line accepts pictures if you want to send them to me or just tell me about how that wind impacted you. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, he would not be negotiating with the GOP if he was Wisconsin's sitting senator.
I want to clarify, like, I'm always happy to negotiate in good faith, but we're talking about a party that's not acting in good faith. We shouldn't be in a position where we're throwing a life raft to somebody who is hell-bent on sinking the entire ship.
Not something I want to be involved in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Congressman Mark Pocan.
Already people can't get appointments as easily at the VA hospitals. Already farmers aren't getting their grants. Federal employees are losing their jobs. And this is just the real life ramifications of what's happening.
If you can't convey the impact of these cuts, the people that are getting bad information are just going to think he's just cutting wasteful spending.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we talk aliens with paranormal investigator Todd Michaels, and Flick's Brewhouse brewmaster Dave Hansen joins the show to talk about the new Nightlight beer. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
That we should know about. We're open to all of it, as well as your rainfall reports. All you need to do is jot it down and use it anytime. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. In fact, you might want to chime in on the next story we've got for you this morning. You know, a lot of us spend time thinking about retirement, planning for retirement. It's something we look forward to. But if you're involved in farming, that's not always the case. Stephanie Hoff joins us now with an expert that deals with farmers who are having a difficult time figuring out what's next after farming.
Retirement is something that's usually celebrated with parties and congratulations, but in farming, it doesn't usually go like that. And there's a few reasons for this. A main one is a question around identity. If you're not a farmer anymore, then who are you? That question typically delays farm transitions and succession planning. Today, we hear from University of Missouri Extension Farm Transition Specialist Wesley Tucker about what a farmer's retirement can look like and meaningful strategies to get there.
Farmer is their identity. That's how they identify as a farmer. And so it is very difficult for a farmer to what we consider retire because they lose their identity with that. And so it's very, very common for farmers to hold on to very strongly the control of the operation as well as the ownership of the operation until they die, because they want to farm until they die, essentially. My education, I work a lot on helping them understand that they are still a farmer. They are still vitally important. They're actually probably more important in the role of a coach or a mentor to the next generation than they are whenever they are calling all the shots. So as we work through a plan for farm succession, we talk about those changing roles, how the younger generation takes on a little bit larger role and a little bit larger role over time. And the older generation still has a very vital role, and their identity is still secure as a farmer, but their role is changing. And so they transition to more supporting the next generation and helping them be successful rather than focusing on their own success.
We don't mean to say that we need to kick anyone off the farm, as you said, because that can almost be just as detrimental. One extreme, they don't let go until they die. The other extreme is they completely let go, and then they lose sense of purpose, really.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got to think, about if a farmer who that's been their identity for their entire life, if they were to pass the keys to the operation essentially and walk away. Some can do that. Some pick up other hobbies and, you know, move to Florida and have fun, play golf. Very few farmers do, because their farm has been their identity. It's been their recreation as well. And so just from a mental health standpoint, we need them staying plugged in. If they just go home and watch soap operas, usually they don't live very long beyond that because they lose their sense of purpose, as you said.
So you pointed out there's this critical transition period where they pass on the ownership, the CEO role, if you will, and then they move into a more advisory role. When does that transition need to happen? Is there an age limit? Is it 65, like someone working a regular 9-to-5 job?
Wow, that's a great question. I like to say that farm succession starts when you give your kids their very first set of chores. How do you give them that set of chores? Do you tell them exactly what they have to do, and do you micromanage them and complain when they don't do it the way you would do it? Or do you tell them what you expect them to accomplish, give them a little bit of guidance, and then set them loose to figure out and problem solve how to do it on their own? So it really is what we call a gradual process, right? So from the time your kids are very young till the time that they are 60 or 70 themselves, the roles are changing. I don't know that I could say it's at exactly, you know, 40 or 50 or 60 or what. I don't know that I could say, because it's going to be a little bit different for every family. Some people do want to stay extremely active into the operation all the way into their 70s and 80s. Some do choose to take a step back. But I think for every family, there's a point where that transition kind of becomes a little bit faster, and the younger generation assumes more responsibility and the older generation takes more of a step back. But it really, like I say, it's a gradual process that occurs from the time your kids are born to the time that they completely take over the operation.
When you release the decision-making role on the farm, what other roles can you be doing as a mentor or advisor? You know, obviously you're there if people have questions or want to think things through, but are there other jobs on the farm that our older generations enjoy doing that can still keep them engaged and busy, but they don't need to be making the decisions?
Absolutely. So a lot of times the older generation say, hey, I'm just content if you pay me $1 per hour fee to drive the tractor, right? That's what I always enjoyed doing, driving the tractor and disking the fields. And so just let me go do that or milk the cows or whatever it might be. But yeah, they still stay actively involved with some of those things that they really enjoy. But again, that role of they don't have to have the stress and the dependence of calling all the shots. They can farming can actually become more fun for them in that role. But it is important, and I've seen operations go through this, it's important that the employees and stuff see the change as well, because often one of the problems we'll have is, well, the employees are used to going to dad to ask for permission or ask what to do. And so sometimes we need the older generation to not show up for business meetings so that the employees start seeing that transition and know to go to the son when they need help and things like that.
The toughest part of making this type of transition is often just getting the conversation started. And you put a big emphasis on put this type of meeting, this type of conversation on the calendar, or else 10 years will go by and it'll never get done.
Absolutely. So I call it intentional communication. I say it's the secret sauce to balancing family and business relationships, is you've got to make it a priority. You know, you heard me today during the workshop use the date night example. You know, families that make date night a priority when they're not on the edge of divorce have stronger marriages, right? Well, if we wait to start doing family business meetings till we're in crisis mode, it's much more difficult to build that family business that survives the ups and downs. But if we can make it a priority, put it on the calendar and say, we're gonna meet as a family and work through these issues when we're not in crisis mode, it makes for just a much stronger business, which also makes for a stronger family.
Advice from Wesley Tucker to make a farm transition or farm succession planning easier. He's a farm and ranch transition specialist with the University of Missouri Extension. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Why your odds of contracting bird flu are slim to none. Today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Farmers know that livestock can be temperamental at times. Even animals that have never been a problem before can act up. And in a head-to-head, the 600-pound steer or mama sow will hold the advantage. Be watchful and know how to reach a safe spot fast if you have to. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. While avian influenza, also called bird flu, has pummeled the poultry industry and driven up egg prices, the one thing it has not done is become widespread in humans. There have been isolated cases, mostly persons who work around poultry and dairy animals. Diseases transmitted by animals to humans are called zoonoses. While direct animal-to-human transmission of these diseases is rare, it's more common when there's an intermediary involved, like a tick or a mosquito. Scientists call them vectors. The vector bites a diseased animal, then bites a person, and they get the disease. Regional zoonosis control veterinarian Brent Moore, who works for the Texas Department of State Health Services, says humans don't really become vectors themselves.
Humans are a dead-end host versus a reservoir or amplifying host. And what that effectively means is a dead-end host, the virus infects you, but you don't produce enough virus in your blood for mosquitoes to be infected and then build up more virus to pass on to another host.
So, staying away from diseased animals and repelling vectors like ticks and mosquitoes should afford you a good deal of protection against zoonotic diseases. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We will talk about the Wisconsin Badgers seed in the NCAA tournament and what makes you a target of the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. A Wisconsin judge has affirmed that Canadian oil giant Enbridge must pause construction on its Line 5 pipeline while a legal challenge plays out. Conservation groups are suing to block state permits that would allow the company to clear trees, dig trenches, and fill wetlands in northern Wisconsin, all to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline that carries Canadian crude oil to refineries in Ontario. Republicans and Democrats in Wisconsin coming together to support livestock grazing on our farms. State lawmakers introduced the Transition to Grazing Bill that will help our farmers improve soil, water quality, and livestock health by getting dairy cows and other animals out of the barns and out grazing on grass in the spring and summertime. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The death toll, at least 40 from that cross-country storm that spawned dozens of tornadoes and led to wildfires across the South. Here's ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
The National Guard deployed to Arkansas, where an EF3 packing 165-mile-per-hour winds flattened buildings. Bruce Drope rode out the storm.
You can feel the pressure, hear the intensity.
Missouri has the highest death toll, with at least a dozen lives lost, fanning wildfires in Oklahoma, leaving at least four people dead and 400 homes damaged.
President Trump says he will speak with Vladimir Putin tomorrow as the push continues to end the war in Ukraine. The Trump administration deporting hundreds of immigrants to El Salvador, even as a federal judge issues an order temporarily barring that action. The flights were in the air at the time of the ruling. The judge ordered the planes to turn around, which did not happen. The NCAA brackets are out. Men's first games on Thursday, women's day later. This is ABC News. President